on a subject that very few people ever consider anymore. In a day of pop psychology preaching, of self-esteem promotion, very few people ever preach about eternity. Turn with me and see what Jesus told some folks. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Again, this is one of the many I ams in the Gospel of John, where Christ is revealing Himself as God manifest in the flesh. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. No other religious leader that has ever come down the pike could make such a revolutionary statement and back it up with their life and their legacy. Jesus Christ has done that. He is the light of the world. You must believe on Him to be saved and delivered from the penalty of sin and from an eternity in hell. The Pharisees, now, these folks were a high-class, elite religious group in the day and age that Jesus lived. And the Pharisees, therefore, said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. They felt like they were qualified to publicly express that they did not believe that Jesus was true, that His record was true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. He is exposing them. He's telling them, you have no spiritual discernment. As such, you're not qualified to comment on my record that is a fulfillment of what the Father hath prophesied and promised. And I and my Father are one. I came from the Father. I came from His bosom. I am His only begotten Son. They rejected all of that. It is also, verse 17, written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. That is as strong as it gets. I have the witness of the Father and the witness of myself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am expressing to you that I am the light of the world, that the only way that you could be saved is to receive the light. Now here's their response to this declaration made by Christ. He made this with no apology, with no disclaimer. Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And later he would pray about this in John 17:3, where he says, in order to know the Father, you have to know Jesus Christ the Son, the giver of eternal life. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now they were incensed against him for making these kinds of deity declarations. It was their will to kill him, to lay hands on him, to put him to death right then and there. But the time had not yet come. You realize today, God controls every minute of every day. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. The time is not yet. God restrained them from their willful, wicked desire at that moment. Verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." That's a heavy statement. Jesus, as God, knows all things. He knew that they were not of His sheep. He knew as they were going to be unbelievers who would not acknowledge Him, believe on Him, and He tells them to their face, these high-ranking religious elites, you're going to die in your sins. You can't come where I'm going. Then said the Jews, will He kill Himself? Because He saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Notice what's on their mind? Death. His death. And He said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I want to preach a message today with what Jesus emphasized here. Ye shall die in your sins. Now, in the passage quoted, the Lord Jesus Christ utters words of condemnation and wrath against those who do not believe that He was sent from God as the light of the world, as the Savior of men. Jesus clearly states that there are people who are going to die in their sins, possessing those sins for all eternity. Now, if an individual does die in his sins, we can infer from that that it means that the penalty for his sins was never paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. You understand what I'm saying? If you die with your sins, the penalty was not paid for you. And you don't believe the gospel, the penalty was not paid for you. Jesus knows all about that. I don't know who that all pertains to. All I can do is preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But Jesus knows everything. And He tells these people, these Pharisees, these high-ranking religious authorities, you're going to die in your sins. Your sins will not be paid for on the cross. Folks, I believe in a successful Savior. Because Jesus died in my place, shed His blood for me, died on the cross for me, was buried for me, and rose again for me, and has ascended to heaven to make intercession for me, I guarantee you that I'm going to heaven. All on account of what he did. But if you die in your sins, it means those sins still belong to you. That they were never put away. You'll die in your sins. It means that the blood of Christ did not in any way take away the sins of any who ultimately die in their sins. They still own them. They still belong to them. And it's the reason why they'll spend an infinite eternity in the lake of fire. Because only Christ can actually pay for sin, the sin debt. A lost sinner has no ability to pay. All he'll receive is punishment for eternity. It means that the unbeliever will die with the weight of his sins on his back and be plunged into the lake of fire by the justice and the wrath of God. Thus, the unbelieving sinner must suffer the penalty for sins committed against a holy God. Now, like I said, not a lot of people will address this text. You don't hear much preaching like Jesus preached. On this occasion, he's in the temple. He is completely fearless. He is preaching to people who literally hate him, want him dead. And he says to them without reservation, you're not going to come where I'm going. You're going to die in your sins. You're an unbeliever. You reject the light of the world. And you're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. In essence, that's what he's saying when he says, ye shall die in your sins. And Jesus also makes it plain that those who die in their sins will never enjoy the bliss of heaven. He says, whither I go, ye cannot come. Unbelievers cannot go to heaven. You say, but preacher, I want to go to heaven. Repent and believe the gospel. The message is clear. Receive the light of the world. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I can preach that with utmost confidence. But if you die in your sins, it's all on you. I can honestly say, I have been preaching the gospel for 44 years. Christ as the only way of salvation. I've preached it all over, in the pulpit, out of the pulpit, in my home, in my community, at the workplace, wherever I've worked. I have shared the truth that Jesus is the way to God, that He is the truth of God, and that He is the life. It's the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I've preached that with a proclamation, a declaration. Jesus saves sinners. You don't believe it? You're going to die in your sins. No matter how nice you may be. In fact, most people are a lot nicer than me. But that's not what gets you to heaven. Jesus tells these people who don't believe, you're not going to come. You can't come where I'm going. Because you have to be changed to go there. Unbelievers cannot go to the place where Jesus now resides. Unbelievers are unjustified and morally corrupt in the sight of a holy God, so they could never stand in His presence in the glory of heaven. Revelation 22:11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still." Now I wonder, what category are you in? Are you a believer or an unbeliever? Are you justified by faith? Or are you guilty of and headed for condemnation? If you're a person who's not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, terror ought to fill your soul. As you consider the words that Jesus spoke without apology, the consequence of not believing according to this passage is you will die in your sins and be punished for your transgressions. Jesus would later explain that you'll go to a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Mark 8, verse 44, 46, and 48. He said it three times. You'll be cast into the eternal furnace of God's wrath. Now, I hope you're getting the point here so far. This isn't the Jesus that most people have conjured up in their minds. That he's some long-haired hippie man who's real effeminate, who goes around and says that he loves everybody. He's telling people, these are the consequences. If you don't believe on me, if you don't trust me, if you don't receive me, you're going to die in your sins. And then he elaborates on it. He said in Matthew 13, 41 and 42, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall be cast, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's what Jesus said. Now, most folks in our day feel as though they're not bad enough to go to hell. And I understand why they feel that way. They probably have never read the Bible. Most people today are not never been raised in church. They've never been warned by a preacher. I look back to when I was saved. This is hard for me to say, but you know, way back in 1980. You know, when I was 21 years of age, it was the first time I had ever heard the gospel. When Greg Rittenhouse witnessed to me personally that the only way to heaven was Jesus. Now, I'd gone to church occasionally, not faithfully, but I didn't hear that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. What I got from the services in the Church of Christ that I went to was, you got to do a whole lot more than just believe on Jesus. You got to be baptized. You got to hold on. You got to do this. You got to do that. First time I'd ever really had somebody tell me, you've got to trust personally in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. I was 21. Now, unlike a lot of folks, nobody had to convince me at the age of 21 that I was a terrible sinner. I had that box checked. I knew it. It terrified me. The more Greg witnessed to me. Because I knew I was a sinner that deserved to go to hell. But let's face it, most people don't feel that way. Oh, I'm just as good as the guy down the street. Man, I don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew. And I don't run with girls that do. I pay my taxes. I brush my teeth. I'm a good person. Well, all that may be true, relatively, but it's not true scripturally. Because the Bible makes a blanket declaration, there is none good, no, not one. They've all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some may even boldly assert that they're not even sinners, and therefore will not perish in hell. Oh, come on. You think there's people that say that they're not sinners? I'm pretty well convinced we probably have about half the country that are at least practical atheists. Practically. In essence, they live their life like there's no God, like there is no eternal consequence for sin. They lie, they cheat, they drink, they use drugs, they do things that are wicked, and some of them may not do any of that, but they're self-righteous. This is the world we live in. It's called a world of darkness. That's why men, women, boys, and girls need the light of the world. Now, there are other people who just flat out deny the existence of eternity in heaven or hell. In order to do that, you have to basically say, God is a liar. Now, they'll say, well, I'm not going to say that because I don't even believe in God. I don't believe in sin. They have trouble with that because I can guarantee you, even an atheist feels guilty when they lie, when they cheat, when they steal, when they commit adultery, when they dishonor their parents. I guarantee it. When they kill somebody. They have a conscience. People with those kind of unscriptural opinions have deluded themselves. And they are blinded by Satan. If our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that believe not, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. All men are sinners, including me, including you. There are no exceptions, as Romans chapter 3 clearly states. And I'm sure that there will be people who may hear this message who will object by saying, I've attended church regularly. I was raised in church. I've been baptized. I sing in the choir. I even put some money in the offering box. Yet all the religious rituals in the world will never pay the price of even one sin. Remember the context of this passage. He's talking to religious people who were very legalistic. They did everything They dotted their I's and crossed their T's. They were observing all the law in their mind. And yet Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins. In spite of all their religiosity and self-proclaimed righteousness, they were still destined to die in their sins because they would not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I think, as I read this passage, I try to put myself in the mind of people who've never read the Bible, who have a completely different idea of who Jesus was. I mean, let's face it, the world, the Catholic vision of Jesus is that he's a blue-eyed, light-skinned hippie, long flowing hair. You know what? There are no pictures of Jesus. He was a Jew. He was a man. I guarantee you, he wasn't a sissy. He wasn't effeminate. He spoke the truth. And he didn't go around just saying, oh, you did that? Don't worry. I love you. Don't worry about a thing. That's not the... Jesus was real. And he spoke with authority. The words that Jesus spoke were extremely offensive to the natural man. Jesus never sugarcoated his message of salvation, nor the message of damnation. He spoke plainly, without fear or favor, without reservation or hesitation. He spoke the truth. Now, what's interesting to me is he makes other statements in this chapter that are even more incendiary as he's talking to these unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Pharisees. This got a hold of me this morning. I mean, I had this sermon prepared, but then I started diving into all the times that Jesus spoke so plainly and it was offensive to people. Look what he said in verse 36. Same chapter. Same context. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. He's talking about his heavenly Father. He's exposing them for their sinful father on earth. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed in the light of the world. He rejoiced to see Jesus dead, as he's going to point out. He says in verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They're actually charging Jesus as being born of fornication. He was born of a virgin. He said, or verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. This message had already been declared. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They're rejecting it. And He's telling them, I'm going to make a statement. He's going to make a statement now that is so offensive. It's radical. And it's true of lost sinners. It's true of me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're blind. You're ignorant. You don't understand the truth because you're in the flesh. All you have is a sinful nature. You're an unbeliever. You hate me. You hate the Father. You hate His law. You hate His gospel. And then He goes on to say, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Notice, all murder goes all the way back to Satan, the soul murderer. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God, and you're going to die in your sins. Look at the last verses of this chapter. It's all in this context. He said in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I believe the gospel was preached unto Abraham. And he saw it and was glad. See, I don't believe there are dispensational changes in salvation. Old Testament, New Testament, there's only one way to God, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints look forward to that through the prophecies, the promises, the types, the worship of the tabernacle and the temple, all pointed to Christ. By faith, they looked to Jesus. They didn't fully understand all of it, but I believe that they were saved by faith in Christ. We, in this day and age, we look back to the cross and to the tomb that where He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Salvation is only in Jesus. Not in law keeping, not in ceremonies, not in religious rituals. It's in Jesus and Jesus alone. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There's that statement again. I am the eternal, infinite, self-existent God. I was with the Father in His bosom, one with the Father. Boy, that blew their mind. That was all they could take. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is a miracle. These dudes, they're picking up rocks wherever they can find them. They don't care if they're in the temple precincts. They're going to kill him. And he just strolled right through. You You know, this isn't the first time Jesus had spoken so plainly. He said in John 6, when they all wouldn't follow him anymore because he didn't give them any more bread and fish, he said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day." He repeated that twice in that chapter. He said in John chapter 7 and verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go to him that sent me." I'm going back to the Father. "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." John the Baptist had preached, "He that hath the life, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." One of the strongest ones is in chapter 10, verse 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." How plainer can you get? I don't know if that's right grammar. How much more plain can you make it? Sometimes Buffalo Creek kind of rubs off on me, and my grammar gets bad. I blame it on Joe Pemberton. He rubbed off on me. Now look what he says here. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." You're not my sheep. You're not a believer. That's pretty strong. I'll close with this. He says something very similar in John 12, verse 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Make no mistake about it, unbeliever. I can't judge you. I can warn of judgment. This message will be brought up at the great white throne when the books are open. And it's going to be plainly revealed to everyone. That preacher told you the truth about Jesus. You rejected it. And that word's going to judge you for all eternity. Trust Christ. See, I believe in the sovereignty of God with everything in me, but I also believe that it's my responsibility to tell sinners to flee from the wrath to come. And the only way you can escape is through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.